guess what? We know where you're going to be when you die. We know you're going to be in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It would be a sad day if we gathered together in worship in church and you had passed, you know, you had died. How many know it's appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment? Death could come for any one of us. It would be a sad day if we gathered and we're like, we sure hope he's a believer. We sure hope he's in heaven. But for surely, there's no hoping. There's no wondering. There's no questioning, right? We know where she's at. So today we rejoice. Amen. We rejoice. We rejoice about a life that was well lived. Amen. I would not want to live my life and just wonder, just hope that when I die that I'm going to heaven. I want to know that I know that I know. I'm thankful that I can know. I'm thankful that Jesus can give me the everlasting life and the assurance of life eternal. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, you can miss a doctor's appointment. You can skip out on an appointment to go to work. People call in to work all the time. They don't want to go to work. Oh, I'm sick today, you know. But you know what? When you have an appointment with death, you can't get out of it. It's a reality. I'm thankful that there's coming a day there'll be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying. No more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. All right. Hallelujah. Now, there's two ways we're going to preach this sermon today. We can preach it where you sit there like you're just a bump on the log, or you can preach with me, and it's always better when you preach with me. We get to the restaurant quicker. I guarantee it. Well, I had a message planned for today. In our Fresh Start series, the final message about trusting God to complete the good work that he's begun in your life. But after Shirley's passing, I felt like I needed to share a message with you that kind of follows the theme of her life. And so I'm going to preach the final message in the Fresh Start series at some point in the future. But today, I want to preach a message that Shirley has lived. So if you forget what I preached today, you think of how Shirley lived, and you'll remember the sermon for today. I saw a T-shirt one time, and it read like this. Live your life in such a way when the pastor shares a message at your funeral, he doesn't have to lie. Live your life in such a way the preacher who does your funeral doesn't have to stand up there and lie. I can tell you this, I'm not lying today when I talk about Shirley. In fact, I can't really give justice to the kind of life that she lived. But I'm going to do my best today to talk about three enduring qualities that I saw in her life that if you will have those in your life, you will leave a legacy that will live beyond your years upon this earth. So today, in honor of Shirley, I'm entitling this message, How to Leave a Legacy. Psalm 112, verse 6. If you'll turn in your Bibles. Praise the Lord, verse 1. Blessed, these verses here are not on the slide, okay? The only one that's on the slide is verse 6, but I thought I better read the ones that came before. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commandments. You know, it says man, but we're going to read it with the understanding that it refers to a woman as well, right? Blessed is the woman. Or blessed is Shirley who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. Did Shirley love God's word? I'm telling you, friends, she began teaching Sunday school at the age of 16. She taught the word of God until the Sunday right before she died. She died on a Monday. She taught God's word. She loved the word of the Lord. And she really, in every year of her life, every month of her life, every day of her life, she was in the word of God. She was sharing the word of God with other people, and she was teaching God's word. We need teachers in the church today. If the church is going to go forward, we got to have people who love God's word, and they love it enough that they're going to share it with other people. I've said this about Sunday school. You can call it Sunday school, life group, Bible study, small group, fellowship group, whatever you want to call it. But, you know, if you know your Bible, fellowship group needs you. And if you don't know your Bible, you need fellowship group. Did you hear me? If you know your Bible, Sunday school needs you. And if you don't know your Bible, you need Sunday school. That qualifies everybody for Sunday school. We need the Word of God. We need to love God's Word. We need to teach God's Word. Without it, we're in trouble. His children, or her children, will be mighty in the land. The generations of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous woman. Good will come to her who is generous and lends freely, who conducts her affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. Or we could, let's say that again. Surely will never be shaken. Shirley, you know, Shirley loved justice. Can I tell you a little story? She called me a week before, maybe 10 days before she passed, and we chatted on the phone. And, you know, when you chat with Shirley, you chat. That's right. I had pulled over, and I just stayed pulled over because, you know, if I turn the phone off, the transition between my speaker in my car to the phone might, you know, I just wanted to talk to Shirley. I just needed to talk to Shirley. She blesses me. And she told me about how she was out walking. And there was something in the ditch. It shouldn't be in the ditch. I think it was some trash or something. And so, do you know what Shirley did? She got in a ditch. That's what Shirley would do. You know, she loved justice. In this case, justice was just something that was in the ditch that shouldn't be there. But what I loved about Shirley is if you were in the ditch and you shouldn't be there, she's going to get in the ditch with you. That's a great way to live your life. There's a lot of people who will be your friend when you've got something to give them. But when you got a need, you know who your friends really are. Right? When you don't have much to give them because you're in the ditch, your true friends will get in the ditch with you. And that's what she did. She got in the ditch, and then she told me she couldn't get out of the ditch. You know what? The Lord looks at your heart, right? I love it when there's somebody who cares about something and they're willing to do it even if they are not able to fully accomplish it themselves. They've got the heart to do it. She couldn't. She had no business getting in the ditch to get some trash out. That's somebody else's job. You know, but she got in the ditch. And she got out, too. That's what I love about Shirley. And that's what I love about people like Shirley is they got the determination that they're going to do it. They're going to do what other people say they can't do. That's a good way to live your life, isn't it? Well, look at verse 6. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man or woman will be remembered forever. Shirley lived her life in a way that her life will be remembered forever. She will always be remembered. Her legacy lives on. In Orlando, years and years and years ago, I went to Orlando to Epcot Center. And they had these giant slabs of black granite and a big sign that says, "Leave your legacy." And for a certain fee, because it's Disney, a certain fee, you could have your picture taken and the picture would be photographically, chemically transferred into the granite rock And so for all time, your picture will be on a granite stone at Epcot Center in Orlando, Florida. And guess what? Hundreds. I read just yesterday, I looked this up, over 500,000 people had their picture taken, had it photographically, chemically transferred onto a granite rock. Why would they do that? Why would 500,000 people pay money to get their picture on a granite rock? I'll tell you why. It's because of the sign. Leave your legacy. Everybody, deep down within all of us, there is a desire to leave a legacy. The problem is many people have a desire, but they don't have the discipline to live their life in such a way that it actually leaves a legacy. Are you with me today? We all know someone who left her mark on this world. Her name is Shirley Judas. She left a lasting legacy. And today, I want to talk about three qualities you can find in people who will be respected, who will have an impact on other people, and they will leave a lasting legacy. If you want to know how to leave a legacy, number one, speak with integrity. Speak with integrity. For many decades now, they've done an annual Most Admired Men in America. And while many presidents, politicians, stars, athletes, have come and gone, one man has been on the top of that list decade after decade after decade. I could give you three choices or chances to pick who that person is, and I could tell you the first two choices don't count. All you got is one chance to name me the name of the person who's been on that list, one, two, or three, for decades. Who would it be? Billy Graham. You know why? Because Billy Graham lived his life in such a way that he told the truth, he lived the truth, and he kept his word. He was a man with rock-solid integrity. What you see is what you get. And, you know, I thought about that, and I thought about Shirley. I thought about, you know, Shirley lived her life with integrity. She told the truth, right? Isn't that correct? She kept her word, right? Yeah? You know, if she didn't, it wasn't a fault of her own. It was just maybe she forgot. But she was a person of integrity. Did she practice what she believed? Oh, hallelujah. That's right. Dwayne would testify to that. Dwayne knew her best. Out of all of us, he knew that she had rock-solid integrity. Why is it that when we look around in our society, most people, most leaders are held in low esteem today by our society? Why is that? Because we live in a world where people don't tell the truth. We live in a time when people do not keep their word. They do not practice what they preach. They lack integrity. And as a result, nobody really wants to follow them. I want to think about for a moment about the unbelievable, incredible outpouring of love that we have seen since Shirley has passed on to heaven. And why is that? Why is it that we've seen this overwhelming show of love and support since her passing? I'll tell you why. It's because Shirley lived a simple life, a sincere life, and a significant life because she loved her Savior, and she shared the life that Jesus had given her with so many people. And through the years, one life after another, one Sunday after another, one day after another, Shirley sincerely loved people and cared for people and shared that with people. And so now when we gather in a circle like we did on Wednesday night we gathered around tables and we sang songs and we prayed. And then after we were done singing and praying, we talked about Shirley's life. We celebrated her life. And you know, friends, it was like a river that wouldn't stop. There was a flow of admiration for Shirley that was unstoppable. We could have talked for hours. And it's because of the kind of life that she lived. And I have done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of funerals. And I've met with families and I've asked them, could you share with me some significant things about your loved one's life? And there have been many occasions where they don't really have much to say. It's sad. It's very, very sad. To get them to say something of significance, it's like pulling teeth. But when you open it up for someone to talk about Shirley, it's like you just broke through a dam and there's a flood of admiration and gratitude and appreciation that comes because she lived a simple life. Am I correct? A simple life, but a sincere life where she loved her Lord and she loved other people. And when you get right down to what life is all about and what matters most is loving God and loving people. Jesus said, these are the two great commands, that you love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm telling you, when you live like that, you'll leave a legacy. You'll make an impact. Just last Sunday, Shirley came out of how many times did she come out of that door right there? Many. Because that was her classroom. And she was dedicated to that room. Not just the room, but the kids that were in that room. And not just one Sunday, not two Sundays, not one year, but for 50-some years. 56 years or more. She lived a life of pouring herself into other people. That's from 16 to last Monday when she passed. She walked out of that door and she saw her brother standing right there. And her brother was serving. We celebrate today not only Shirley's life, we celebrate the life of Shirley's parents. Because what we saw there was a sister and a brother. One who was preparing to teach, another who was serving by taking care of the sanctuary. And then Shirley sees her brother. She walks up behind him, pats him on the back, and says, I love you, brother. I love you, brother. You'd be a rich man if you had a dollar for every time she told you those words. Because she loved you. And if Shirley loved you, and she did, she'd tell you that. Because she just didn't tell her brother that. But somebody who's new to the church and has hardly ever even known Shirley, she would enter into their world. She didn't wait for them to enter into her world. She I'm just preaching from the heart today. I got some notes, but I'm preaching from the heart. You know, she didn't wait for you to open up to her. She opened up to you. She poured her love out to you. You know, we don't have a lot of time, right? You know, if Shirley did something, it was like she lived with eyes that were not focused on herself. Her eyes were focused on other people. So often we look inward all the time. All we can see is ourselves, and then people and walk right by us, and there are people that are in our life, and we don't enter into their world because we're in our world. And so Shirley lived a successful life. And you know how I define success? Here's how I define it. Success is having those who know me best respect me most. Think about that. Success is having those who know me best respect me most. It's easy to impress people from a distance because they don't get too close. But real integrity is when those who know you best, they respect you most because they don't see a perfect life, but they see a sincere life. They see a person who desires to live with integrity. Not perfect, but they live with integrity. That means when you make a mistake, when you mess up, you fess up. And that's the kind of person Shirley is. And let's read our text again. Shirley, she will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. Can I tell you, Shirley has not been shaken by death. Shirley. Oh, death! Oh, death, where is thou sting? The sting of death and of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who's given me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you what, death has not fazed Shirley. It has fazed us, but it has not fazed our dear sister. She spoke with integrity. Did you get that? I'm not going on until you get it. Get it? Got it? Good. All right. Number two, and let the hungry say good. Serve. Serve with intensity. Serve with intensity. Be a servant to the people who are around you. As I told you, Wednesday night, we gathered around the tables and we had a little table talk. We celebrated Shirley's life. And people talked about her acts of service. One person, that person is here today, but I'm just sharing with you what this person said that I thought was very profound, and it went like this. We use the word great to describe athletes and ballplayers, but surely Judas is a great person because she was a servant. And Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be a servant. The great people of the world are not the great athletes who make billions or millions of dollars. You know, just the other day, somebody signed some ball player to play baseball. The Royals signed some bullpen pitcher who's almost washed up. Give him $2 million to come throw a baseball. $2 million, and he's washed up. He's at the end of his career. He probably won't even last the whole season. And our world gives him $2 million to come and throw a baseball. You know what? Our world is all messed up. You know, I'm sure that person's a great person. He'd be mad at me if he knew I was kind of downing him today. But you know what? He's probably a great person. And, you know, take your millions of dollars and go live your life and do good things and serve God and so forth. But let me tell you something. There are people like Shirley who are getting in the trenches and serving. And they may not get a $1 million paycheck in this life, but they'll leave a legacy, and for all of eternity, they will receive a reward that far outweighs anything this world could ever give you. Are you with me today? Let me go on and say that someone asked Gary, I believe it was at the funeral preparation service at the funeral home where you were talking about Shirley and getting ready for the funeral. And they said, Gary, what did she do in the church? And he probably chuckled a little bit, just like you chuckled, right? And just like some of you smiled, right? Shirley, what did Shirley do in the church? Oh, Janice, what did she do at the church? You know, I went and knocked on this guy's door these people's door one time, and I was talking to him, and then I said, well, where do you go to church? And he said, oh yeah, we go to that church, and they named a particular church, and then I said, well, I've been wanting to go to that church and check that church out. What is the pastor's name? And the husband at the door goes, you're talking about that? Yeah, that church right down the street, just around the corner. Honey, what's the pastor's name? What did Shirley do at the church? What did she not do? If you really want to figure out what she did, it would be easier to say what she didn't do. Because the list is long. Pastor Terry, when we were up, pastor at the Cowboy Church, Pastor Terry was saying, yeah, I remember when I was 12 years old, Shirley took us to the youth convention. She served as a Sunday school teacher from the time she was 16 to the time she passed away. She worked in the girls' ministry. She even cleaned the church. I mean, I'll tell you what, I bet she drove the bus. I bet she put a battery in the bus. Yeah, she'd drive them to camp. She took the trash out. She worked in the kitchen. She served. And that's what it takes to be a person who leaves a legacy in this world. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you've got to learn to be a servant of all. Servanthood is the key to a lasting legacy. Proverbs 14:22. You will earn the trust and the respect of others if you're a big talker. Some of you are waking up and you're going, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound Bible. I threw in some words at the end that weren't correct. I'll read it to you. You will earn the trust and respect of others if you work for good. If you work. I know some people are not interested in work. God's work is important work. Can I say there's nothing more important in the world today than God's work? But somebody's got to do the work, folks. It's a good work. It may cost you something. There's a price tag to pay. You might have to study. You might have to pray. You might have to work. You might have to do something. But let me tell you something. You'll make a difference for all of eternity. And how many know that matters? Most people work for their own good. We work because, well, if I work, will you pay me? Oh, yeah, you get paid in God's work. The retirement benefits are out of this world. You know, yes, I know. I know there are people who get paid in the church. Are you with me? There are people who get paid, and we need them to get paid, right? Thank God we've got enough money to pay somebody to clean the church. Because if we didn't, then this church would not be clean, and we wanted to be clean, right? And if we didn't pay somebody to clean the church, then we'd have to have all these volunteers coming to clean the church, right? You know why we have to clean the church? Because you folks are so messy. That's why we have to clean the church. That's right. You know, have you ever been into a dirty church? Oh, I have. So thank God we got somebody to clean the church. I went to church one time, went into the bathroom. I didn't even want to go into the worship service. I just thought I need to hang out here in the bathroom and clean this church. God's house shouldn't be dirty. God's work shouldn't be left undone. It's an important work. But let's face reality. Yeah, we need a pastor. Yeah, if we can afford it, we need a worship leader. Yeah, if we can afford, I mean, one you pay or something like that, or a youth pastor. God help us to grow the paid staff of the church. But if we ever get the mentality that the people who do the work are the people who are paid, then you know what? We're in trouble. God intended for God's work to be done by people who love him and want to serve other people. So if we think that we're the only thing that's going to get done in the church is what we pay for, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Shirley modeled for us what it meant to work. How did she work? Did she grumble all the way? No. Let me read a few scriptures and you tell me if this was Shirley. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord and not for men. Work, here's one, work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good that we do. Oh, let's park out here for a moment. Let's pause for a moment. Work with enthusiasm. Did Shirley have enthusiasm? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Don't walk around all the time looking like, you know, you're just, you know, death warmed over. You know, don't look like you're just sad and depressed and defeated. I'm telling you what, Shirley, sometimes she could hardly walk, but she had a smile on her face. She had joy in her heart. She wanted to share it with other people. Hallelujah. And remember that the Lord will reward you for the good that you do. So be enthusiastic. Be eager to help. Be ready to serve. And what's the motivation? Work for the Lord and not for men. Do it for God, not for man. Yes, you can care about people, but you know, you can turn any task into ministry if you do it for God. You can do it as if you're doing it for God. You know, I'm going to make this bed today for you, Lord. All the teenagers listening, make your bed today and do it unto the Lord. I'm going to clean this house today, and I'm going to do it for the Lord. I'm going to serve this person, but I'm going to do it for the Lord. When you do it in the name of God, for God, it becomes an act of service, serving others, serving God, and when you do it with intensity, you will leave a legacy. Mother Teresa said this, and I quote. Are we ready for Mother Teresa? Here it is. It's not what we do that matters, but how much love we put into it that makes a difference. I'm going to read that again. It's not what we do that matters, but how much love we put into it, that's what makes a difference. And you know, I couldn't help but to compare Shirley to Mother Teresa. I mean, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? I've never, ever done that, ever before. But that's the kind of life that Shirley lived. She put love in whatever she did. And Jesus talked to us, didn't he, about this? Listen to me. In John 6, he said, don't work for food that spoils. Instead, work for food that lasts for eternal life. You with me? Don't work for food that will spoil, but work for food that lasts forever. So what I'm encouraging you to do in light of the life that Shirley lived and the legacy she leaves for all of us is I am encouraging you to invest your life in things that are going to last for the long haul, for all of eternity, that will make a difference. So what's going to last forever? That's a very important question. You might write it on your notes. What will last forever? I'm going to give you two things that will last forever. But before I do that, let me tell you what will not last. Pleasure. Pleasure will not last. Power will not last. Things will not last. Everything you have is not going to last. You didn't bring it into this world and you can't take it out. In fact, it's probably going to break before you leave. Why would you invest your entire life collecting things, making the goal of your life to get more and more things when none of those things are going to last for all of eternity? What will last? Let me tell you two things. Number one, truth. Truth is going to last forever. You should build your life on the truth of God's word because heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. Say that with me. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God abides forever. Why am I making a whole sermon about Shirley's life? Because she invested in those things that will last forever. She invested her life in the word of God, and the word of God will stand forever. I've already told you she taught Sunday school for over 56 years. You talk about investing your life in something that will last forever. That's how she lived. What a challenge to us today. People invest their life. You know, listen to me. I had a friend of mine, and he is a friend of mine. I don't approve of everything he does, but guess what? He's a friend of mine, and I love him dearly. I do. He knows better. And I tell him, I preach about you all the time. Talked to him on the phone the other day, just a couple days ago. He said, yeah, I just left the casino. You know? And he said, yeah, I put that last $100 down and it went bye-bye. And he didn't tell me how much he lost that night. But he lost. Shirley's a winner. See, she put her chips on the Sunday school table. Are you with me? Not on the casino table, rolling the dice, hoping you win, and you win enough just to come back the next night to lose it all. Or you would put so much money, so much stock in the things of this world that only satisfy for a moment. Shirley put her life in the eternal word of God and invested it in the lives of other people. That's why when she was in the emergency room in the intensive care unit, one person after another came in there with such admiration and affection for dear Shirley because of the love and the commitment that she had for years to their well-being by teaching them the word of God. I'm telling you what, there's going to be a great reward for people like Shirley who will study the Word of God. that they will be approved of God. They might rightly divide the word of God and share it with other people. I'm telling on people today. The other years ago, probably 25 years ago, I sat in the 8:30 service, Watauga, Texas. And I'm here. I'm on the front row. I look back, and there's one of our dear Sunday school teachers. And she's ferociously studying for her Sunday school lesson. During the 8:30 service, Sunday school starts at 9:30. Bless her heart. I'm sure she was a great teacher. But let me tell you something. If it matters, it matters. And you don't give it the last minute like it's an emergency. You put your heart into it. I know George Green taught Sunday school. He's probably still teaching today. But he started Sunday school lesson Sunday afternoon after Sunday morning. And every morning he got up and he opened his Sunday school lesson and he studied it. And when he got up there to teach on Sunday morning, he was ready. Because it was mattered and he put it in a place of priority. That's what Judy did, or that's what Shirley did. And she made a difference in people's lives. The second thing that will last forever is what? The word of God? People. People, they're going to last forever. I'm telling you that you're going to live forever. Once you're born into this world, you've been born to live forever. You'll live forever in heaven or hell after this. Pastor, you believe in hell? Well, Jesus did. So I do. He talked more about heaven and hell than he talked about anything. He believed in it. And the Bible tells us that we will live forever. That God wound up a clock in you that's going to tick forever. When you pass from this life, you will pass into eternity. And in eternity, there's only one of two places, heaven and hell. And Shirley lived her life in such a way that she was a witness of God's love to people so that they could understand how much God loved them and that she could then have a spiritual impact on their life so that they could make heaven their home. That's the way to live your life. You live your life like God's word matters and people matter. And that's how Shirley lived. Let me ask you today, have you accepted God's love into your life? Have you accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? You know, from an earthly perspective, when someone dies, it's very, very sad. When someone stops breathing, their body dies, but their spirit lives on. And we were in the hospital room, and Shirley is at the end, and she's not breathing very well, and we know that she's going to stop breathing at some point unless there's an absolute miracle. But Paul and I and every person who came in that room had this incredible hope. We understood that the moment she stops breathing, she will be in the presence of our Lord. She is born again. She has eternal life. She's not just going to be buried in the ground. Yes, her body will go to the ground, but her spirit has gone on to be with Jesus, and there's coming a great resurrection. And the Bible says the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise. And we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them. And we will be with them forever. I've got to wrap this up because I don't want to overwhelm you today. But I want to remind you all today, we will see Shirley again. Yes, sir. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to sum up her life, you would say that Shirley invested her life in the Word of God and she served people. That's pretty good. Let me go on to the final thing today that will challenge us. Not only did she speak with integrity, serve with intensity, she was a giver. She gave with generosity. And the Bible makes it very clear that we make a living by what we get in life, but we make a legacy by what we give. And that's what she did. She lived her life. The Bible says godly people will give generously. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. You give one glass of cold water to someone who is thirsty and in need, and the Bible tells you that that will be remembered, and God is going to bless you, and God is going to take care of you because of your faithfulness to Him. Now, what kind of givers are there? Let me give you three different types of givers very quickly. There are flintlock givers. Let me explain. You have to take a hammer and hammer it out of them, and when you hammer it out of them, sparks are going to fly. They're flinty givers. You hit them and sparks fly. Then there are what we would call sponge givers. If you put enough pressure on them, they'll give. You got to put the pressure on, and then finally something will give. And then there's a honeycomb giver. You know what a honeycomb giver is? A honeycomb giver just overflows with sweetness. They're always giving, always helping, always serving, always sharing. They're generous. They're not stingy. I want you to remember this. Surely Judas is. I say is, not was. I say is, not was. I say is, not was, because she is. She is a honeycomb giver. She overflowed with sweetness. She was always giving, always helping, always sharing, always serving, generous, not stingy. And today, I can assure you, she's in the hands of our Lord. And God is taking good care of her. Now, in closing, how many of you can remember the last five winners of the Miss America contest? Can you tell me the names of two people who won the Nobel Peace Prize Award? Can you name the last half dozen Academy Award winners for Best Actor or Actress? You've already lost. You've already forgotten the last ones. Can you name the most valuable player in football, basketball, and baseball for the last 5 years? No. I can tell you who's going to win the most valuable player award in football for the next 5 years. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. I know that. But I can't remember the ones who won it in the last 5 years. See, achievements vanish. Awards tarnish. Certificates grow yellow and crumple and get put in a desk drawer to gather dust. But a godly legacy will live forever. I can guarantee you every person in this room, until the day you die, will remember Shirley Judas because of the way she lived her life. Let me ask you these questions. Can you remember the most helpful teacher you ever had in school? Yes, you can. Can you name two friends who helped you through a difficult time? Absolutely. Can you name of someone who taught you something worthwhile? Absolutely. Can you name somebody who believed in your potential while you were growing up? Absolutely. Can you name some people you enjoy spending time with because of their sweetness? Absolutely. And surely that's how she lived. We don't remember the superstars. We remember the saints. We remember the servants. Live your life that way. Live your life in such a way when the preacher stands up, he can dedicate a whole sermon to you. Isn't that great? That's how Shirley lived. So today, what is today's date? February 17th, 2019. I just preached a whole sermon in loving memory of Shirley Judas and the eternal legacy that she has left for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for Shirley's life. And Lord, it's just mind-boggling to me that we could gather together and have such appreciation for the incredible life that someone lived. And we do so with hope. We do so knowing that a day will come when we will see surely again. Today she's in heaven. Our hearts are sad. Our hearts are heavy. We grieve. But we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve with a sense of appreciation for a life well lived. We grieve with a sense of the hope of the Lord in our hearts and the help of God at our side and the hope of eternal life that our dear sister is with Jesus. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Perhaps you're here in this service and you would say, Pastor, I do not have that blessed assurance. I do not have that absolute certainty that I know that I know that I know I will make heaven my home when I die. And you would say, today I want to, I need to today to make a reaffirmation of my commitment to the Lord, and I need to make some adjustments and commit my life to the Lord, put my life in His hands. And you'd say, Pastor, pray for me today. Will you remember me as you pray? Just hold up your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Father, today, thank you. We come. God, I pray, Lord, that each and every person in this room would begin to value what really matters. We would value your word. We would value eternity. And we would value, Lord, people. People that you loved and died for. And God, today I pray we'd be challenged to live our life in a way that we would leave a lasting legacy for years to come. For all of eternity. And I pray today for every person whose heart is heavy, may they feel the comfort that you provide for all of us. May they sense today the strength that you give. May your peace be theirs today. And Lord, help us, Lord, today to do what we can, to do our part, to show the love of God to every person we come in contact with. In Jesus' name.